Olos chapter 7, Mishnah 2. Kol shipuye ohalin. All sloping tents, ka ohalin, are like normal tents. In other words, if the tent is not doesn't have vertical walls, but its walls are sloped, so we still look at it as if it is a normal tent, and the halachas of tuma that we've been learning would apply. Ol shu shofar v'yored, a tent that slopes downwards. Kale ad be'etzba, and then draws to an etzba. It's actually different interpretations of what this means, but the Kahati's gone with the interpretation of the Rambam that at the bottom of the slope of the tent there is a little vertical section. It stops no more than an etzba above the ground. So it stops an etzba above the ground, and then there's a little tiny vertical section from the slope down to the ground. In this case, tuma bo'el kalim shetachas hashipuah tmam. If there is impurity in the rest of the tent, then utensils beneath the slope are impure, because we could look at the slope as if it is an integral part of the tent. Tuma shetachas hashipuah, anything which is underneath the slope, kalim shebo'el tmam, then utensils in the tent are impure. And adds the Kahati, even if the impurity is where the slope was only an etzba above the ground, that still makes any utensil inside the tent impure. We look at it as if it is all one tent. Next case, tuma mitocho, if there is impurity inside the tent or the slope, hanogaya boy, someone who now touches it. So if there's a corpse inside the tent and someone touches the tent, mitoicho, from the inside, tame tumas shiva, even after the corpse has been removed, they contract impurity, 7-day impurity. And the reason being that the tent is made of a material susceptible to impurity, and therefore when the corpse is inside it, the tent body itself, the fabric, actually becomes impure. So when the body is removed, the tent remains impure, but only from the inside. From the outside, tame tumas erev, if a person touches the outside, they only are considered impure until evening. They receive a lesser form of impurity, a lesser level of impurity. Tuma ma'achorav, if the impurity was outside the tent, hanogaya bo ma'achorav, then someone who touches the outside, tame tumas shiva, is impure for 7 days. Mitoicho tame tumas erev, but if they touch the inside, then they are only impure for until evening. Kachatzi zas mitoicho v'kachatzi zas me'achrav, if the tent has half kazas, half an olive's bulk of impurity inside, and half an olive's bulk outside, so the two halves combine to impart 7-day impurity to the tent. Hanogaya bo, but someone who touches the tent, and this is bein mitocho bein macharav, whether from the inside or the outside, tame tumas erev, only contracts impurity until the evening. And the reason being that since there's not a full kazas on one side, both sides are treated like utensils, they're touched utensils, meaning that they are a lower level of impurity, and they impart impurity only until the evening to someone who touches them. Next case, miktsasoi merudad al haaretz, if the fabric of the tent was overly long and part of it trailed on the ground. So now the part trailing on the ground is not considered an integral part of the tent or the slope. So tuma tachtav or al gabav, if there was impurity beneath or above the part trailing on the ground, tuma boikas v'oila, the tuma breaks out and rises and goes down. But in this case, the tumah doesn't affect the tent's contents, because it's only under this piece of extra, this extra part of tent. But says the Kahati, the fabric of the tent does become entirely impure, because we consider it as one piece. And so if tumah touches even the trailing part, the whole thing is considered as if it has is impure, as if it's touched a dead body. Oil shunitoi ba'aliyah, if a tent was pitched in a loft of a building, miktsaso merudav alha aruba shebaina ba'as la'aliyah, and the excess part of the tent, the excess part of the fabric, covers the hatchway between the house and the loft. So there was it's a two-story structure, and there's a hatchway between the two stories, and there's a tent pitched on the top story, and the cover of the tent, an extra piece, covers the hatchway. Rabbi Yossi Omer Matzil, Rabbi Yossi says that this overflap protects the loft from the impurity in the house. It's considered a tent vis-a-vis the house, and since there's an open space beneath it, it protects. That's why it protects. And that's according to the Rosh. According to the Rambam, because an object need only cover all gaps to screen as a tent. So because it covers the hatch, it protects the impurity from spreading. So if there's impurity in the house, let's say on the bottom floor, it wouldn't spread to the top floor. Rabbi Shimon Oimer Eino Matzil Ad Shia Natir Kenatias HaOil. Rabbi Shimon says the overlap doesn't protect the loft unless it is pitched like a tent directly over the hatchway, but not where it trails on the floor. In other words, if they pitch the tent over the hole properly, then it would protect the tumah from going up. But if not, if it was only the overhang, it wouldn't protect and it wouldn't stop the tumah from spreading. And then the Kati brings that the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi, that the overlap would actually protect the tumah from spreading.